Well, we appreciate your prayers. Thinking about the reason we all came here. If you believe tonight that God created the heavens and the earth, and you believe that Jesus came to this earth, the Son of God, to give His life for us. If you really believe those things, it should change your outlook about things. Yes. It really should. Brother Clint mentioned last night something about March Madness. If God really created the heavens and the earth, and Jesus came to save us from our sins, and the whole purpose of man is to fear God and keep His commandments, it really don't make much difference who wins that tournament. Honestly, it's a very small matter. And do you know, I find something that's ironic about it. I see it quite often. If what we believe is true, the great men of riches in our world today are the poorest. The great men of strength are the weakest. The most famous are actually less known of God. I mean, there's something ironic about life with what I believe. And when I can believe that God created everything and that I have a purpose, and my purpose is to fear God and keep His commandments, when my purpose is to go through this life and be faithful, it really changes everything. That's my goal, my purpose then. It's the highest of all purposes. It's the highest of all goals. There's many people that start out to say, I want to be rich. I can see the benefit of it in the sense of this life. But what does it really gain you? If it is true that we are all eternity-bound souls and that we have a short space of an existence here on this earth, and then after that is what the Scripture calls our long home, then it doesn't matter about these trivial things of life. They come, they go. One season after another, then another season, then another season. And you can be disappointed about something or something in my head, but I've learned that after a while, it doesn't matter. I may so been disappointed that the sun didn't come out and shine and warm like I wanted it to, because I had things I wanted to do, but I find out I turn around twice and I'm 5 years older. I don't even remember the day that I was disappointed in. And so goes the good things and the bad. Lord, help us to have a proper focus about what things are really important about life, and what can I really devote my time, my existence, I may say, what can I really devote it to that's going to be meaningful? If I could but gain the whole world, what would it gain me? What would it profit me? If I could gain the whole world, nobody will gain the whole world. But what would it profit me if I could gain this world and 100s like it? Then turn around one day and feel a deep pain in my chest and a few moments be gone. Can't drag those worlds with me. Can't take the things that I fought so hard for or put so much importance on, or the things that was meaningful and all of those things. Useless. It's useless. What can I have that's solid? What can I have that's meaningful? What am I most able to put my existence into and get benefit from it and say, that's success. The most successful people in this world are the most unsuccessful people. Lord, help us. I want to look at a scripture. I think it's a familiar scripture in most of us. It's over in Matthew. Oh, let's see. I want Matthew, the 19th chapter. About the 16th verse. It says, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Now, I know we've heard this passage many, many, many times, no doubt. But I still marvel at the fact that I don't know the man's name. There was a scripture, you remember the scripture where Jesus said that there was a beggar named Lazarus? You know why he called him Lazarus? Because that was his name. His name was Lazarus. He mentions other people by names, but he says it is, there was a certain man. What's his name? He didn't tell us his name. Names have meanings. That's how I refer. If I say something to you about Brother Larry, you immediately know who I'm talking about because that name puts you to personality, everything you know about him. It connects you to, but the Lord didn't give us any name at all here. This is a certain man came to him, and we know some characteristics. He was a rich man, and he was young. Some call him the rich young ruler. I don't know where the ruler come from. Maybe that's just part of the plan. But he was rich and he was young. And that's his name. That's who he was. I don't know what name fits that, but that's who he was. A rich young man. That's what title he gets in this passage. A rich young man. You have an identity tonight. Do you know that? You have an identity. You have something that you are. You are. That's who you are. That's who people know you by. It's more than just a name that we connect with. We connect with the face, the appearance, the character, the attitudes, the spirit that a person has. If you know them, those things all we all know about them. This was a, you know who he was? He was a good. He was a good, rich young man. I think the man had a certain sense of seeking in his heart. Don't you? I mean, I can only take the scripture for what this man is saying. There's not, Jesus didn't say you're lying or you know better. Or he didn't say that he come tempting the Lord and he wasn't serious like other scriptures have. This young man was serious and he come to the Lord with a serious question to him. Lord, master, good master. That means when you say master, that's saying something. I can believe you're a master. I'm not. You're a master. You know. You got answers. I don't have. That's what he come. You got an answer that I don't have. And I want the answer. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Or in this passage, in Matthew, and Mark it said it that way, but in Matthew it says, what good thing must I do? You know, Jesus didn't rebuke any of his statements. He told him what he needed to do. Keep the commandments. Which ones? Which commandments do I need to keep? Well, you need to keep these ones. Then he says, I've kept them. What was troubling this young man? You know what was troubling this young man? You can do all that outwardly. That's what was troubling the young man. He done it because I think he was serious about things. He wanted to do it. He kept it, but yet there was something gnawing at him. There was something gnawing at him. I don't, I, I'm right. Something's wrong inside of me. And so he continues on, because the Lord said to do this, and it'd been easy enough for him. Wouldn't it have been easy enough to say, well, I've already done it, thank you. I'm in good shape. I've done exactly what the Master said. I wonder if Jesus would have let him go if he'd have said that. Yep. Yep, that's just what the Lord would have done. He would have let him go if that's all he wanted. But when the man said, what lack? The Scripture says, and he loved him. Now that's in there for a reason, folks. That was the emotion. That's what Jesus felt towards this man. At that moment in time, Jesus loved him to give to him. He opened to him. The door for this man's salvation swung wide open. Probably the first time that it ever really in his life, he could have walked through the door that he wanted. Because Jesus loved him and held nothing back from him. You know, when the Lord is working with you, no matter what you think about that, it's Jesus loving you. You might say, ouch. Well, no chastisement at the presence is joyous. It's always grievous. But there's a purpose for it, okay? And so this young man in this passage of Scripture says, what lack I? There's something lacking. And the Lord deals with that. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect. Is that what you want, young man? It answers the question, what do you want tonight of your experience with the Lord? What do you want? Jesus said to him, if you would be perfect, if you really want this, how far do you want your relationship with the Lord? What do you want it to be? You know what I'm saying? As I said last night in the message, he said that he'd be our God. Well, that's good. Be my God then. No, he didn't start with saying, I'll be your God. If you'll be my people. He's God. He can't help from being God. I'll be your God if you'll be my people. When you're not my people, guess what? It's a covenant promise. I'll be your God if you'll be my people. When you stop being my people, I stop being your God. I will fight your battles for you as long as you're obedient to me. See, I will fight your battles. That sounds real good. I'd love to have a God. Everybody wants a God. God that you can put in your pocket like a rabbit's foot. Rub it when you need it, or like a genie in a bottle. Lord, I'm not feeling good. Help me out. Boom, you feel good. Lord, I need some finances. Yeah, boom, you get him. All those guys, I want a God with me. But that ain't the way it works. You want a God? You be my people. You want me to fight your battles for you? He promised them he'd fight their battles. You know, Israel had a promise laying right there, I'll fight your battles for you. How can you lose? Be faithful to God and you gotta whip. The battle they had was being faithful to God. They quit being faithful to God, they lose their battles. I lack something. You want to be perfect, young man? You want to be perfect? Go sell all that you have, that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. How sad. See, the man came up to the crossroads. He came up to the decision, I want eternal life. But I don't know how much I want it. I want an experience, but I don't know how much do I really want. If you be perfect, now this passage, I think Mark does, says Jesus loved thee. And that's the way he answered him. Take up your cross and follow me. What, you'll have your heart's desire. You'll have it. You'll get it. This life is fleeting. Young man, you're young now. You're rich now. But the evil day will come. Things will happen. This is recorded, and it's been 2,000 plus years since the words were said. The man's been gone for years, thousands of years. Where's he at? He still exists, doesn't he? He's in eternity. And for a moment, he didn't reach for the perfection that God was reaching to him. Jesus was handed the doors, was open to this young man. What will you give? What would you give for that opportunity? Now, I want to say something here. When the Scripture says that we're to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that's not to say that I can't love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength and love my wife too. And I think we understand that I can love my wife with all my heart and love my children too. I mean, you understand the idea isn't that I can, that if I love God with all my heart, I can't love anything else because the only thing I love is God. That's not what it is. All right? And when we give up all for Christ, it don't mean we don't own anything. Understand what I mean? This young man would have still owned, if he'd have been faithful. The thing of it is that God wants us to surrender all of it in our hearts. That's what the Lord wants. That's what the Lord required. This was actually putting them to the test to do it. Many would have to totally do it to be able to get it off their hearts. But it doesn't mean that you can't have something because you give all to God. That's my message tonight. Give all to God. If you don't give all to God, it won't work. It won't work. Somewhere along the line, it won't work. It won't work for you. You won't have it. You won't have the peace. You won't have it. It don't work. Jesus said, you cannot be my disciple. It will not work unless you give all. Jesus asked for this man's, the one thing that would be his eternal salvation. Rich, young ruler. Or rich, good, rich man. I want your identity. I want you. I want you to give that all up. Let me name you. Let me give you your name. So this goes on. My Bible has a subject change, but I want to go on with it. It says, Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? If you're not rich, you're reaching for it. Who wouldn't put an extra dollar in their pocket? Who wouldn't have a little cash somewhere or something that gives them... who wouldn't, they were saying. Who can be saved if that's the standard of it? Everybody's either rich or wannabe. Everybody wants a little better. Everybody wants a little bit to be more comfortable. That seems to be the human nature of the thing. So it's an amazing statement. Well, then who could be saved? Jesus' response was, but Jesus beheld them, said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Well, Lord, we've forsaken all. One writer says a few rotten nets. But it don't matter. It don't matter how much you got. The point isn't, the point is not how much you have. This was their life. Their nets was their livelihood. You remember when he come by to Peter and said, follow me? And he cast his nets off and followed him. He said, Lord, we've given up all. What are we going to get for it? Now that's quite a question, isn't it? are we going to get for it? Now, the Lord really answers the question about this young man we're talking about with this passage. Because he answers Peter. Peter said, well, Lord, we've given up all. We've forsaken all. I don't have anything. And when he said forsaken all, folks, they were following Jesus around. No more 8-hour shifts. Understand what I'm saying? Going home every night. We'll go home and spend time with the family. Sure, they had family. We had a structure and things that they did. They had homes and places they lived. They had a work environment. They had nets. They had boats. They had things. And whoever the different ones was. And they forsook it all. That meant that they forsook for the Lord. To follow Jesus. To follow Jesus, they gave up all the things that encumbered their lives. That took up the time of their lives. These people were literally with Jesus. Walking with Jesus. But then the question is, well, we're giving all. Do we get anything? Folks, listen. You get it. You're going to get it. This is God. This is the one that feeds the sparrows. This one that keeps the universe spinning. This is the one that's looking for faithful people. This is the one that is a faithful God. Now, I've given up all. Do I get anything for that? What's the benefits of giving up all? Folks, it's a requirement to serve the Lord. Adam Clark said, to forsake all without following Christ is the virtue of a philosopher. In other words, there's been great philosophers that have forsaken the pleasures of life, pleasures of flesh. There has been great thinkers that have denied much for their thoughts. But he says, to forsake all without following Christ is the virtue of a philosopher. To follow Christ in profession without forsaking all is the general state of most Christians. But to follow Christ and forsake all is the perfection of a Christian. And when I read that, the Lord had been dealing with me along these lines for quite a while. When I read that the comment of this is the general state of most Christians. To have a profession of following Christ without forsaking all. Now again, forsaking all doesn't mean that you don't have anything. I still have a wife. I still have children. I still have a mother. I still have a father. I still have brothers and sisters. I have people in my life. I got things in my life. I have vehicles. I have those things. Forsaking all doesn't mean that. What it means is that God becomes first in all of it. In all of it. None of those things. None of them. Will hinder me from my following the Lord. I can give all in the middle of all these. And as the Lord blesses, it comes my way not to put my heart on it. And I forsake all of those things in my life that I might follow Christ. And to forsake all. Well, what shall we get if we do? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which follow me, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of His glory, He also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for My name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So here we go. What was the answer to the rich young ruler? Go sell all that you have. You think God's hand shortened and bringing things your way? The man would have been rich in his soul, and he could have been rich in his life. He could have been rich with everything. He could have been rich with the hopes of eternal life. That's what the Lord wanted to bring to him. Here's the answer to it. I tell you how I feel about it. I feel like that Brother Clint would put all the effort out to put a little guest house there on his property for me. Thank the Lord. I thank the Lord I have a little guest house there. It's mine. I don't pay taxes on it. I don't even clean it up. Don't keep the heat going. I don't do any of that. Just drop by some weekend and stay up there and enjoy it. When I leave, I can leave and go on. And guess what? Got 100 of them across the country or more of them. Brother Larry, you just went across. There's some places the Lord's got for you across the ocean, right? There's 100 voters everywhere. God, do you know that this is literally fulfilled to me? I had two sisters and a brother. I have more than 100 folk of brothers and sisters. You don't only have one mother, but I got a lot of them in Israel. I only got one dad, but I had a lot of them in Israel. I've been blessed of all these things. And guess what? With all the blessings that is of this life for forsaking all? For forsaking all of my life? I get so much more in return. This is literally fulfilled to me. I have houses and lands. And I remember the first time that I stayed out at when Brother Stanley Dixon was alive. He had built a house. Him and Sister Karen had just got a house built. And I was out there. And right after the house was built, I went out and they invited me and we stayed at their house. And I remember going in because it was a nice house. This beautiful house, brand new house, that is nice room for us. I remember going in there and saying, "Thank you, Lord." Brother Stanley thinks it's his, but we'll just let him go on thinking. Well, I know, it's his too, but I'm saying, I feel like I don't pay taxes on it. I don't do anything. And here I go and enjoy houses and land. Go out to Oklahoma. Me and my little boy have been talking about it again. Out there in Brother Dan Doolittle's place, there's a pond out there with a lot of fish in it. It's fun to go out there and fish. I don't have to pay property on the taxes. I just go out there and fish when I'm out there. Enjoying myself. I got land to go play on. I ride bikes. Everywhere. Whatever. There's just saying God is faithful to us. What He requires of us is to give all. To give all. And I'm afraid that there's times that people, well, the general state, Adam Clark says, I believe it's true, is to serve Christ with a profession, but not forsake all. Lord, help us. There's times that it seems to me that mothers let their children, when they get up to a certain age, hinder their spiritual walk. There's times that wives let their husbands hinder their spiritual walk. There's times that husbands let their wives interfere with their spiritual walks. You don't get rid of them. You put God first. You let God fight your battle. He promised to do it, but only if you'll be my people. I'll fight your battles for you. You know, God can do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or think. God can work. We'll get down in this place. Lord, help us to be faithful and turn these things over to God. God is able. Forsake it all. Give it to God. Give your problems to God. Give your children to God. Give your people to God. Give your wife to God. Whatever you have to give it to God. God's able to take care of it. The Lord can take care of it. There's times He might turn it back and say, I want you to. But God can handle the problems that we have in life. Thank the Lord. Another scripture I want to look at is in Luke 14th chapter. Luke 14. Twelfth verse says, Then said he also to them that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren. I went on down there, it's 15. And when none of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto them, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then he said unto them, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many. and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and must needs go to see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Well, that was a politeness. At least it was polite. Please have me excused. But wasn't very fervent to the cause. Got a piece of land that's just so important. You're going to leave your land here, folks. Every bit of it. You're going to leave all your possessions here, every bit of it. When you put it all into context, it isn't really worth very much. And if a conquering armor or a greedy neighbor takes it from you, it ain't very long. It ain't going to be very long in life. You're going to lose it anyway. Because you can't take it with you. See, and considering this, here was a man that put above the other things, it was a piece of land. It may have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. Well, you bought maybe not 5 yoke of oxen on our day. Not many people plow do that. Well, I got a brand new John Deere tractor. Just bought it. And I need to go prove it. I need to go run it. I need to go play with it. I got me a 4-wheeler this last year. And I wanted to get one with a snow plow. I wanted to plow snow. And it wasn't around and it didn't snow. And I kept wanting it to snow so I could plow snow. Now, that might sound silly. And by the time it got through, I didn't want to see any more snow to plow with anything. But I had me a 4-wheeler with a plow on it, and I thought it would be fun to plow the snow with it. And when it, the first couple of times, it was. And I was out there just plowing away, and I'd even drive down to the neighbors, and anybody was shoveling, I'd pull in and plow there for them, and just had a good time with that plowing on there. Of course, you got to go prove it. I had to see if it worked and how it worked and all those kind of things. Works real good. If the snow ain't too deep, it was real fun, but got to go prove it. Gotta go prove it. I'm gonna tell you something. It ain't gonna be long. That 4-wheeler will be gone. I'll be gone, and everything that it plowed will be gone. There ain't no value in any of it. We put it all into perspective. It isn't really worth that much. But this guy, he had some oxen. He gotta go prove them. And it doesn't make sense either. It's all going up to evening time, and these guys up in the evening is gonna go do this. No, the Bible said it right. They all with one consent started to make an excuse because they didn't have one. They had to make one. And you know we can make excuses. But the bottom line of it is do we want to do it? I can't answer that. You can say, well, I don't want to go to church tonight. Well, church is, you don't have to go every time. The Bible does say not to forsake the assembling of yourself. But when I ask you the question is, and you have to answer it for yourself, how do you feel about going? Do you want to go? Are you motivated to go? Have you made a conviction? Does you have a conviction about going? When you make it, well, it's easy not to go. Easy to justify not go, but that's not what it's about. Answer it for yourself. Did you really want to go anyway? Boy, I can find times that it seems like the easiest little things can make the excuse. Well, we all start making an excuse. Well, you can't do that. I knew a guy that was sick a lot of Wednesday nights. And he was better on Friday nights. See, we played basketball at the gym on Friday nights. And he worked and oh, he was so tired on Wednesday nights. Oh, he was sick on Wednesday nights. But he played basketball on Friday nights. And he was pretty faithful. And I was always scratching my head and saying, that's a coincidence. Now, I didn't believe it. But I was saying, boy, that's a coincidence. Or the devil's taking advantage. Or somebody really don't have the heart. Them giving all. Haven't given all. So he says, another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I can't come. Now that was always strange to me too, in this sense. Why couldn't you take your wife to a dinner? I mean, sister, you go to dinner, wouldn't you? My wife will go to dinner with me. I mean, it was a dinner. It was got a great food spread out there. It was valuable. I got married a wife. I think that's where you want to go. I'll take my wife with me. If it was valuable to you, you'd say, I'm going to take my wife. I just got married. Boy, am I excited. I'm going to church. I'm going to take my wife with me. I'm excited about it. It's a good thing to have a wife to go to church with you. Go here and go to this supper and get fed up and get some good food. That'd be a good thing, wouldn't it? No, I'm married a wife and I can't go. You didn't want to go anyway. That's an excuse. Lord, help us. Over in the Let's see, I think I'm looking for the 26th verse. 25th verse, and he says, "And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father," that word hate means to love less, not hate as you and I have a sense of malice or a sense of anger with it. It's simply a love less. And says, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children, brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." You can't do it. Not because it was a permission. It wasn't a permission. He didn't say, "You may not do it." He said, "You cannot do it." It isn't possible to be a disciple of the Lord and not forsake these things. It's not, and then not have less love to it. It's impossible. You can't be successful. You're not a disciple. You'll be drawn by one or the other. You'll be moved by one or the other continually. You cannot be. Yea, your own life also. Even your own life also, you have to love it less than you love the cause of God. In other words, folks, you know this comes right down to a hard saying, and who can hear it? You may have to give your literal natural life for the cause of God. People have. And if the Lord gave His life for us, then we owe our life to Him. And it may come down to that very thing. You cannot, it says, cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You can't do it. You just plain can't do it. Oh, we'll look at another scripture in the 26th of Matthew. Story of good old Peter. Oh, let's see. This is in Matthew 26, about 31 maybe. "Then saith Jesus unto them." If you want to read all this, you can read about Jesus's, this chapter talks about Jesus saying different things to these people before his crucifixion. 31st verse says, "And all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad." You better be offended, he said. You'll be offended in me. Meaning that you're going to be challenged. Your confidence in me and who I am is going to be shaken. You're going to be disappointed in me. "But after I am risen again, I will go before you, Galilee." Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Good old Peter. He's always putting himself out there. One writer said that it's that brashness or that pride that goes in there with people that explode out there with what they are and who they are is never seen in the humble. And the humble will be the successful one that goes through, where the other ones will always have to learn the lesson. Well, here's Peter. Other men, now, it's obvious here that I'm better than these other fellas. All men, everybody else, all these other guys, they may be offended. Not me. I know myself better than they know them. I know myself better than you know me, Lord. I know me. Oh, the hardest person in the world to see is yourself. Oh, Peter didn't see himself or the potential that he had of anything like that. Well, the Lord says to him, Jesus said to him, "Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Peter said unto him, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples." No, we know ourselves, Lord. We're not going to do it. Then cometh Jesus with them into the place called Gethsemane, and saying unto them, the disciples, sit here while I go and pray yonder. Now you can read this, and this is the account where Jesus had to get the victory. This is where all to the Lord was at. Jesus went and gave all. He had to battle to do that. He was going to the cross. He was giving his all. He was going to do what the Father told him to do. He was going to do it, and he had to battle to get there. Not my will, but thy will be done. That's the secret. Here's the lesson in this. Peter, you hear this? Here's the lesson in this. You know yourself? You don't know yourself. You haven't went through this yet. You haven't got to the place that you're going to be well. You think you're there. I wonder how many of us, that's it, never been tried. He hadn't been tried. He hadn't been tested to this point yet. Now he is. He's definitely going to face it now. In the 56th of this chapter, it says, Now let's go to 69. It says, now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. Now, not too long before that, Peter was saying who he was. Folks, Peter hadn't gave all yet. You know that? Peter hadn't got to the place he thought he was in. He was in. Peter, you know, Peter come to the place that he thought he was in here. He needed the Lord to get him there. He got there. I'm convinced Peter got there. But he wasn't there now. So this damsel comes out and says, hey, you was with him. And he says, but he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto him, them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. Now it's getting fired up. Old Peter's getting, you know why you say an oath? You're not supposed to. Peter did. It's to put an emphasis so they'll believe you when you're lying. That's why he used an oath. You look into some of the commentators, when they address the idea of an oath, they'll say you're a fool to listen to anybody or trust anybody that would give an oath. Because he's a liar. He don't trust himself. That's why he gives an oath. Somebody that's not would just tell you and believe it. But he had to try to prove it by an oath. I swear, I don't know about it, and he gave an oath. This was Peter's state that he was in. It says again, he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him, they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. I know why he wept. He loved the Lord. And he failed. He hadn't given all, folks. And if you don't, you cannot be my disciple. When he gets turned up, you're not going to be able to stand. Now Peter repents of this. And the Lord forgives him of this. History says that Peter, when he came to crucify Peter, that Peter requested to be crucified upside down. Supposing in memory of this failure that he had. That he always wanted to prove the Lord. with his life. He wanted to prove it with death. He wanted to prove it with his life. He never gave the Lord his life here. If he had been willing to give his life, he would have said when the verse would come out there and said, you was with Jesus. And yes, I was with Jesus, and I'm going to stay with Jesus. And if he dies, I die. It wasn't Peter where Peter was at. He was a long ways from that. Many Christians say, I'm a follower of Jesus. But where do you follow him? Where do you follow him to? Follow him for the loaves and the fishes. I follow him a little ways, but where do I follow him to? This is what Peter was doing. I'm a follower of the Lord. It didn't say what the other disciples did, but the scripture says that Peter followed him. How does it say that? Afar off. Peter followed the Lord afar off. Why wasn't he up there close? And when they said, crucify him, he said, no, don't crucify him. Don't crucify him. Why wasn't he there defending the Lord? Hadn't quite made it, had he? Hadn't quite made it. He hadn't quite got there. But he ended up getting there. And just because we're in a place, maybe we haven't given all. Maybe sometimes we feel like we've given all, and then in the process of life we find out that it cropped back up on us. And all of a sudden what I thought I'd given, maybe it comes up and it's now in competition again with my affections with the Lord. Alright? It's just time to get it cut back down. That's what it's time. It's time to deal with the thing again. It's time to give all to the Lord. I hate the thought of us being a group of Christians that follow Christ in profession. But in every aspect of our life, it doesn't change anything about us. God made the universe, but somehow I'm still tangling myself up in the cares of life. I'm going to leave this world before too awful long in time. And it's all going to be, so why am I struggling so much with it? If what I believe is true, Lord, help us to live like that. Help us to give all to the Lord. All of our desires, all of our ambitions, all of the things that, Lord, take all of this. I want God to be my God. I don't want a rabbit's foot. And I'll tell you why I don't want a rabbit's foot. A guy said to me one time, he said, all the guys at his work was giving him a problem. And he said, well, I'll tell you this, they better be glad I'm not God. I'm glad you're not God. I'm glad I'm not God. Because I'm faulty, I'm failing. I don't want anything. If all the higher we can get Marty's thinking, we're all in trouble. I want God to be God. Because I didn't have confidence in God. God's running the universe. He can run my life. And you know, when I would go astray, God can get me back on the right track. And when I start leaning to the right, the Lord can put me back in center. If I go to the left, the Lord can put me back in the center. I hear a voice behind me say, this is the way, walk ye in it. There's a guidance, there's something that's true, there's something that's right. And it doesn't come from inside me. It's a God that will be our God if we'll give all to Him, surrender our lives to Him, give our all to Him. And again, I'm saying, that doesn't mean you go sell your house and you walk around with it. It doesn't mean that you get rid of, I know a guy that got rid of his car because he didn't want to be hampered by things. So he got rid of his car. He didn't want hindered with that care of life. Well, that's just real pretty, but I'm going to tell you, it sure interfered with other people's life. Have to give him a ride. So he should have, to me, just get you a car. You don't have to have it above everything else. You don't let it dictate your life. By the grace of God, you use the things around you with victory. If somebody bangs into your car, you don't lose your grace over it. If it tears up, you just get it fixed or you do whatever. But being a hermit's not the answer. Grace is the answer. Giving all to God. And getting the grace and let God be our God. I believe God is able. 2015. To make men and women of God as powerful as any disciples period at time. I believe that God is able to make Paul's and Peter's today. I believe that He's able to give martyrs grace to die with. I believe He's able to keep us through any kind of trial or time. I believe He can keep us pure in a perverted world. I believe He's still God with grace to do it with. But that's when we're His people. See, the battles we fight, they're not carnal. We're not fighting with flesh and blood. It's not our battle. Our battle is a spiritual battle. It's one of things in high places. It's against spiritual movements. You know, you recognize any spiritual movements in our lands today? You see any decaying of morality? And you see any spiritual move? I do, all around. 2015, there's still a God in heaven. There's still a great plan of salvation that was bought by Jesus Christ for the salvation of our souls when we put our trust and confidence in Him. And I believe that He's able to do it. And I think there's a key that we often as Christians don't use. And the key is the perfection of giving all. The perfection that comes in our life by a surrender of all to the God that's able to keep it. That's my message tonight. Lord, help us to surrender all. Don't mean I don't go to the job. It means that I surrender all of it to God, however it plays out. Surrender it to God. I am in a search of Him in all areas of my life. It doesn't mean that we don't go on and get married. We do in God. We give it to God. Let God lead and rule in all of those areas. And God will be faithful. You pray for me.